Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Sometimes the most important thing is so obviously right in front of you that it's easy to miss it. Consider, for instance, the following story. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson once went on a camping trip. After dinner and a bottle of fine wine, they lay down for the night and went to sleep. Some hours later, Holmes awoke and nudged his faithful friend. "Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." Watson replied, "I see millions of stars." "And what does that tell you?" Watson pondered for a moment. "Astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Orologically, I deduce that the time is approximately 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. And meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow." "What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes was silent for a moment and then replied, "Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen our tent." Do you see what I mean? Sometimes the most important thing is so obviously right in front of you that it's easy to miss. The same is actually true of the gospel story Pastor Callan just read a few minutes ago. In fact, there are three things in this story so obviously right in front of us that they're easy to miss. But if we slow down just a little, we may learn a little more about that first of the three words that capture Mount Olivet's mission: believing. The first is to notice that believing, that faith, as it turns out, is not believing certain theological doctrines or discounting the claims of science in favor of the miraculous or daring some huge spiritual feat. Rather, faith is about trust. The centurion doesn't so much believe things about Jesus, that he's the Messiah or God's son or the second member of the Trinity. Rather, the centurion simply trusts Jesus, that he can and will heal his servant. We live in a religious culture that has somehow turned faith into believing certain cognitive propositions, like the world was created in 7 days and evolution is therefore a myth, or that you have to be baptized at a certain age in a certain way or it doesn't count. And if you can't affirm these and other precepts, then you don't have real faith. But to echo Pastor Rudd from a week ago, faith comes in all shapes and sizes and often is mixed in with questions, doubt, wonder, and even unbelief. But there, so right in front of us, it's easy to miss. It turns out that believing, at least according to the biblical witness, is simply trusting. Trusting God loves you, is with you, wants the best for you, and will never let you go. Second, the hero of the story, you know, the guy who Jesus says has more faith than anyone he's ever met, the hero of this story should not be the hero of the story. I mean, he is a Roman centurion, for crying out loud. That means he commanded 80 to 100 soldiers as an officer in the Roman army, the military force that was occupying Israel, the foreign army that most faithful Jews were praying would soon be defeated. Not only that, but when it's all said and done, Jesus doesn't say to him, "Come now and follow me," or "Take up your cross," like he does to some others in the Gospels. He doesn't tell him to sell all he has and give it to the poor. He doesn't even tell him to stop being a Roman soldier. There is, in fact, no evidence in Luke's Gospel that this man ever became a follower of Jesus, and yet Jesus praises his faith above all others. Again, we live at a time and place where some folks who call themselves Christians are ready, maybe even eager, to judge and condemn others who don't believe as they do. But there, so right in front of us that it's easy to miss, is Jesus praising the faith of a Roman soldier, which means that maybe, just maybe, God can bless, save, and work through just about anyone. Finally, The third thing that's so much in front of us that it's sometimes easy to miss might be something we don't want to notice, even if we do. I don't know about you, but when I hear Jesus' praise of the faith and trust of the centurion, I don't only admire him, but I also then move on to question myself. Would I have trusted Jesus like he did if it were the fate of someone I loved hanging in the balance? Or, more to the point, do I trust in Jesus when someone I love is sick or the future is uncertain? Do I trust God enough to make worship and service a priority when there are so many things demanding my attention? And do I trust God enough to share generously what I've been given because I believe and trust God will always provide enough? Do you see what I mean? It is one thing to notice the centurion's trusting faith, even to admire it, but another to have it, demonstrate it, live it. But, and I honestly never noticed this before, even though it's right in front of me, the centurion does not do this alone. Notice he first sends emissaries to plead his case to Jesus. And then when Jesus draws near his home, he sends friends out to tell Jesus he doesn't have to come any further and to give him a message. In fact, the centurion, who is the hero of the story, actually never appears in this story. Everything that happens to him and for him is mediated by others. We live just now in a culture that sometimes wants to make believing an individualistic, heroic activity. You know, the line sometimes goes like this: have you accepted Jesus into your heart and soul and given your life to him as your Lord and Master? When you think about it this way, and if you are remotely honest about your own shortcomings, then it's no wonder you may doubt your faith. But maybe, just maybe, faith is not so much an individual achievement as it is a communal endeavor. Faith, I think, is something that none of us can do alone, and we don't have to, because we believe together. Johannes Rosenthal's was a New Testament professor at Luther Seminary some years ago. He was originally from Latvia and as a young man was caught up in the horrors of World War II. Yet despite his experiences in the war, which included occupation and months spent in refugee camps, his faith never wavered. Some years later, he came to St. Paul to teach at Luther, the seminary where I had the privilege of teaching and that most of our pastors were educated at. Rosenthal's served there faithfully for decades. Late in his career, however, his wife died very unexpectedly, and he was undone. He went to the president of the seminary to resign, explaining that he had lost his faith and could not teach something he no longer believed. After listening to Rosenthal's story, the president said to him quietly but firmly, "Johannes, you keep on teaching. We will believe for you until you can believe for yourself once again." And they did. And he did. This is what we do at Mount Olivet. We don't believe just for ourselves. We believe for each other. When my faith is strong, I can believe for you. And when I struggle, I believe and trust that you are believing for me. That's what it means to be the body of Christ, a body of people who believe but struggle to believe, who have faith but also plenty of questions and doubts, who come here with personal, individual, and important concerns, and yet are bound together with each other in faith, hope, and love. We are at a time in the year when we focus our attention on stewardship, taking stock of the blessings God has bestowed on us and sharing some of those blessings with others through our gifts to the church. And when I ask you to give, that is to take seriously your responsibility and opportunity to share with others some of the things you've been blessed with. It's not so that we can pay our staff or take care of our buildings or offer Sunday school and Bible studies or provide musical directors for our choirs or support camp and retreat center or, well, actually, your gifts do all of those things and more. But in the end, what your gifts really do is enable us to be a community that believes for each other, that supports each other, that celebrates together when things are good, and that rallies together when things are hard, that holds on to each other through thick and thin, and in all these ways becomes the body of Christ. So there it is, three things about believing that are so right in front of us in this story, they're almost easy to miss. Faith is about trusting God's love and care for us. God can work through anybody, even you and me. And we don't have to believe alone because we believe for each other and grow in this way into the people and church God needs us to be. Thank God for these truths, and thank God for your part in becoming the congregation we are meant to be. Amen.